Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles. Every week, we break down the most important beauty news and launches, interview your favorite beauty experts, influencers, and celebrity guests,
and review our favorite beauty products of the moment as your beauty editor BFFs from the beautiful and great city of Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos!
We hope you stay a while.
Sarah, we have our first guest of the year.
Woo! And it's a big one.
This is a big old guest. I mean, he's not big, but he's right. Like a little tiny angel, right? But like
but big in the sense of personality and also presence.
Correct.
A big celeb in the Los Angeles Facebook group.
A big following. A big old
Mondo following. If you will.
We have Brad Mondo on the podcast today. He was a joy. He seems just like a very joyous person. I enjoyed talking to him. He was great.
So much joy.
For those of you who may not be familiar with Brad, all you have to do is get on YouTube. I guarantee you one of his videos is probably trending. He is known for his hairdresser reacts videos. And he'll react to everything from, you know, people bleaching their hair at home to the Tyra makeovers on America's Next Top Models, which I've watched every single one of those videos where he critiques the makeovers. Because what he likes to do is he likes to kind of explain his thinking about whether something is going to work or not work. And then when he sees the before and after, decides like, oh, this hair, you know, color isn't very flattering on her, or I would have loved to seen her with like a short pixie cut, or oh, she doesn't look that different. And he always ends up nailing his favorite makeovers. Like all the people that he loves, I'm like, yep, those were the best makeovers of the season. Like they looked incredible. Mm-hmm. He's very, very personable, and he likes to add a little bit of expertise as well. He grew up working in his dad's salon, so it's like a family trade. And he owns his own brand, Ex Mondo Hair.
Super cute.
Which is a line of hair care products. There's a styling serum called the Glitterati Styling Serum, shampoos and conditioners, balms, creams. So, and then last year in 2020, he expanded into Ex Mondo Color. So there's vegan semi-permanent hair dyes for people who want to just try out some different hair colors, which so many people were doing last year during the pandemic.
And will continue to do probably in 2021.
Totally. So the thing that's crazy about Brad is he's only 26 years old, which is wild.
A small child baby.
Small little baby. You know what, though? I mean, I felt like I was talking to a friend. Like I was asking him about people that he idolized growing up, and he mentioned Britney Spears, and I'm like, yes. You know, I feel like he's 2 or 3 years younger than my brother. So I felt like very maternal towards him, even though he's like a grown man. Yeah. But I felt very maternal towards him. So if you're not familiar with Brad, you should definitely check out his channels. He is a complete sweetheart, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. And I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Well, hello there, Brad Mondo.
Hi, how we doing?
We doing great. I am so thrilled to have you. You're our first guest of the year.
Yay!
On Los Angeles.
I'm so happy.
You are kicking things off with a bang, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. And I am such a big fan of yours. I think you have amazing energy and you're so much fun to watch. It makes sense why so many people love you, adore you, binge your videos. So I want to say kudos to you for bringing some happiness to people's lives, especially in a ratchet year that was 2020.
Oh, girl, it was a lot, but I appreciate that so much. I always want to try and make people as happy as possible through my content. So I'm glad I could do that for you, and I appreciate it.
Of course. So for those that may not be familiar with Brad Mondo, who is Brad? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I do a lot of things. I am known as, you know, the hairdresser on YouTube that reacts to a lot of hair fails, a lot of awful things that people do to themselves, like bleaching their hair off. And I react to them and say what they could have done better or worse. But that's, you know, one side of me. I also am a professional hairstylist that's been doing this for many years, almost like 8 years now. So I worked in several salons. I've worked on shoots, all kinds of things. I'm also a business owner now. I have my own hair care company called Ex Mondo. We just released a color line called Ex Mondo Color. And so I'm really all over the place. I'm very into business and entertaining people and having a lot of fun doing all of it. So it's basically who I am.
Did you find that because of social distancing and quarantine in 2020 that you had a lot more content to react to?
Yes. People, I did several videos called like Hairdresser Reacts to Quarantine Haircuts and Quarantine Hair Colors, because there was so many and people were doing the craziest stuff to their hair and just foregoing the whole salon thing in 2020. And it was really entertaining. However, it was also really horrifying sometimes. But I appreciated all the content that was coming out, because sometimes it can get a little bit difficult to find stuff after three years or so of doing this once a week for the past 3 years. It gets a little daunting sometimes finding different topics to react to.
So maybe not so good for people's hair, but great for reaction videos. You know, that's the thing. It's like the minute salons, because, you know, we're based in LA, the minute salons shut down, and God bless our hairstylists and hair colorists and everybody that works in a salon, because I think in LA, the total amount of time people have actually been able to work has been like 3 or 4 months, right? Yeah. You're in New York, right?
Yes, I am.
Do you know if it's been any different?
No, it's been pretty much the same. I have a couple of hairstylist friends that are close to me who, you know, went back to work and then stopped working. So it's been a mess.
I know. God bless them. We're hoping for better times in 2021. But the minute they shut down salons, all of a sudden everybody needed a haircut. It's like they hadn't even thought about a haircut for 8 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, I can't see my stylist. What am I going to do?
They need their toilet paper and they need their haircuts.
Exactly. Exactly. How did you get into hair? Like, what sparked your passion for hair? What really makes you excited about hair?
So I grew up in my dad's salon. I started working there when I was 16 as an assistant. And my dad's also a hairdresser. So I have always been around the industry and been working for, I mean, it's been 10 years of me being actually in the salon. So being around that and being an artistic person naturally, I gravitated towards, you know, mainly hair color because it was a way of me to like use my painting skills on people. And my other passion was to transform people and give makeovers to all my friends. So it was just really exciting to me to learn how to use all these colors and make people feel beautiful and look beautiful. And so it's where it really came from is my dad. I really owe a lot to him and him teaching me all the skills from a young age. And just my natural passion for all things beauty, really.
My mom was a cosmetologist when I was younger.
Oh, really?
And so she's the one that gave me a perm for the first time. She did my first head of highlights. So I'm sure your dad had a lot to do with the way you looked growing up.
Yes, I always remember that I had my whole head kind of like shaved and then those front spiky pieces and then the front spiky pieces were all blonde. Just that spot, like, cause that made total sense.
Complete and total sense. I don't know. I think like somebody from NSYNC must've made that popular at that point. I don't understand it.
I also did like the cap highlights where we would pull out pieces and highlight them. And I had like all the spiky hair. I did like, every other week of school, I would have a different hair color and my teachers would be like, what are you doing? Like, you're 10 years old. What's going on? But that's where I learned a lot of like even how I do hair now through my dad, like doing all these different colors on me and it's sometimes not going as planned. And I would try and figure out what went wrong or how I would do it better next time. And so
I love that it's a family thing. I think that's really, really cool. Who were your biggest influences growing up? Obviously your dad, and this can be literally anybody, Brad. It doesn't have to be in the hair industry. Who, growing up, did you idolize?
Wow, that's a tough one. I feel like I idolized a lot of pop stars growing up. Like
I'm waving my hands, y'all.
Like Britney Spears for sure. Like I just wanted to be everything she was.
Yes.
I don't know. I was really not a great kid.
Excuse me?
I was very troublesome and I did a lot of bad things. And I think a lot of that comes from me aspiring to be like reality show star.
Oh my God, Brad. But you're not alone. Like, that's the thing. Growing up, like, let's paint the picture. Who was popular at that point? Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, mm-hmm. Nicole Richie. Everybody was getting a DUI. Everybody was not wearing underwear, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bling ring was popular at that point. It was like a turning point from the goody two shoes pop stars to like this reality vixen.
Yes.
Right?
I was obsessed. Like, I would always sneak on every reality show behind my parents' back. And I embodied these characters. Like I wanted to be everything they were. And looking back, I'm like, that was terrible. That was so bad for me. Especially Paris Hilton and Britney Spears, like hanging out together. I was like, that's gonna be me. I'm gonna do that. That'll be so fun. Just every like villain character ever, I was like, I'm gonna be that bad bitch. Like, it was awful. It was awful. I didn't have any, like, great influences growing up, clearly.
Well, besides your dad, right? Like, your dad, obviously, yeah. The main influence. He was a good influence on you. So what do you think kind of switched for you? Because clearly, you're very business-minded, and you have to have a very strong work ethic to put out content as consistently as you have the past 3-4 years. So was there a turning point for you? I have to say this because, you know, internet stuff. Britney Spears and Paris Hilton have amazing work ethics. They would not still be around.
bombed if they did not. Okay. So we're not saying that. But Brad, what do you think was the big turning point for you?
Ever since I was, you know, a teenager, I had been so passionate about what I wanted in life and knew that I wanted to be known as this big, I don't know, like I wanted to have a big identity and everybody to know me for some reason. I always gravitated towards that like kind of celebrity life. I also wanted to be a big entrepreneur and do exactly what my dad did, but do it on a bigger scale. I don't know where that whole passion came from, but it always enticed me, like watching Lives of the Rich and Famous and stuff like that on like MTV or whatever that show was called. Like I knew I wanted that life and I didn't know how I was gonna get it at first. And then I decided I wanted to be a hairdresser finally when I was, I was about 17, 16. And I knew I wanted to take it to the next level. So I, you know, decided I wanted to move to New York and pursue it here because, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And I would always tell my friends, I'm gonna make it big. I'm gonna do huge things. Like, and they're telling me, yeah, okay. Cause I never did good in school. Like I was always just passing and just trying to get by. But I knew like deep down that I could achieve everything I wanted. And I'm a very big believer in like whatever you put out there, you get back. So I would, you know, make vision boards and embody the character, the person I wanted to be. And that's what happened is I built everything up and never stopped grinding and worked my ass off. And now we're here. To put a long story short, that's basically how it went.
I consider you like an edutainment type of YouTube channel because you obviously are very entertaining. I also like that you give opinions from a professional perspective. Like, well, this color actually washes her skin tone out and she has a beautiful skin tone. Or like, this hair is just way too long. It's dragging down her face. Bringing both of those two things together, I think ultimately helped you achieve your goal. And anybody listening that, you know, may be struggling in school or may be struggling in what they're doing, like Brad's a perfect example of being able to show them people what you're capable of. You don't have to be good on, you know, good at a test or, you know, good in a school system to succeed in life. So thank you for sharing that.
We put a lot of pressure on kids in school and performing in school, but there are definitely two different types of people, people who perform really well in school and people who have a passion that they know they can do well at, and they don't necessarily need all that same education that somebody who wants to go to college and become a doctor needs. I think definitely the education system is a little archaic and needs some revamping, but that's a whole nother topic.
And I agree with you. I think a lot of people may, this, it's just an archaic way of thinking to say that somebody that isn't prolific at school is not smart or intelligent or educated. I think obviously with YouTube, things have changed and people's mindsets are changing. You're obviously a big part of that. When you go to Brad Mondo's YouTube channel, the views are in abundance. There's millions of them. They're here, there, and everywhere. What has been the biggest life adjustment for you from making content and, you know, seeing views start to steadily grow to the amount of views you get on a regular basis now? I would be excited, but I know what comes with that. So how have you kind of adjusted?
It was definitely a process. I think the biggest thing for me was working for myself. And that was a giant adjustment, not even like view-wise. I think it was more behind the scenes adjusting to the life of a social media person and learning how to be my own boss and be other people's bosses now. That was like crazy to me, and making my own schedule and making myself wake up at a certain time and do certain things. And I had always been told by other people what to do every day and how to do it. And so taking that power and making sure that I accomplished everything I want in a day was a huge adjustment for me. I also was lucky to kind of come up. I definitely came up fast on YouTube, but I guess it was pretty fast. I was going to say in reality, it wasn't that fast. Like that's bullshit. It was totally fast. I think it was a huge learning curve, and just having like fans was a crazy concept to me, and going on the street and having that first person recognize me. I was so nervous. so shaken up. I didn't know what to say to this person. I was more nervous than they were meeting me.
Do you remember the exact moment? Like, do you remember who, like, where you were and what you were doing?
Yeah, I do. I was shopping in Chelsea in New York, and this girl was like running by me, and she stopped and she was like, "Oh my God, are you Brad?" And I was like, "Brad, who's Brad?" I was like, "Wait, are you recognizing me?" I was like, "Mom, I just got recognized the first time." I was so shocked. Other than that, you know, of course you have to get used to people just picking apart every single thing about you. And the bigger you get, the more people want to tear you down, I've noticed. So that's tough, but I tend to just not look very deep into things anymore, and just make sure that I like who I am. And if I feel like I'm a good person and I'm liking what I'm doing and I'm a good and I'm doing well, then I don't listen to what other people are saying about me. Just being sure of yourself, I think, is the most important thing when you're coming up in social media, and you know, you're getting millions of views and people are judging you and people are writing things about you that aren't true constantly and trying to get a reaction from you. I think I've done pretty good at not reacting overall.
I was going to say, you have a really good poker face. When I was doing research for this episode, I was like, this man will not give in to anything that anybody is saying. It's actually incredible. I did want to ask though, like, do you feel like you don't read comments as much anymore? How do you stay in tune with supporters? That's the double-edged sword of social media,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you balance that?
It definitely is a double-edged sword, because I sometimes on a YouTube video, I'll want to know what people are saying or if they like the video. But I also am hesitant to read the comments because I know I'll skip over some that are super negative and just totally out of line. And it will, I'm not going to lie, like affect me a little bit. Like it's so hard to not let those things affect you, especially when they're putting jabs in parts of you that are weak already, you know, like things that you are already self-conscious about, and they just know where to hit you hard. So I'm pretty good at reading YouTube comments and kind of like scrolling over the bad ones. Like if I see any kind of word that I don't like, I'll just be like, oh, didn't see it. Like,
it's like self-defense at this point. Like, okay, I know I'm not going to go there. I am glad that you shared that, because I go on to these YouTube videos sometimes, not specifically to you, but to anybody with a large platform. And I'm like, how is this allowed? Like, how are some of these comments even allowed on this platform? I know that there's been tons of conversations with creators and YouTube about curbing those issues, but I gotta say, you have to be mentally strong to have a huge platform in 2020, 2021, because some of the stuff that people are saying is just sometimes downright cruel.
It's awful. I mean, even I think TikTok for me is a lot worse. And I think it's because it's a much younger generation. And I think it's a lot of like insecure kids who want what these other kids have and just wanna like kind of bash them because they're jealous or something. But I get so much shit on TikTok. Like, I cannot look at my comment feed because it will just be like, you're not a real hairdresser. Everything you do is fake. You're a phony. Like,
why?
And then there's obviously good things mixed in between. And I appreciate all those people a lot. But it's so negative to the point where somebody posted this video saying nice things about me, and they had to turn off the comments because it was so bad. And I don't know where these things arise. Like, I don't know where people are getting this information from, because it's all just so untrue. But whatever. Like, honestly, I don't care. Somebody commented on my video yesterday and said, I'm so glad you're still posting so often, even though so many people are like being mean to you. And I was like, girl, I didn't even notice at this point. Like,
well, you know, the saying is like, if you believe everything good said about you, you have to believe everything bad, right? It kind of like balances itself out. So I think it's best that you operate the way that you're operating. And as much as I love TikTok, the conspiracy theories are rampant on TikTok. I don't know where they come up with half of the stuff on there. So I can't even imagine having as many followers as you do on TikTok and having to see that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's a lot. I also just luckily have my businesses that I focus on. And at the end of the day, I don't even have time to like really get into it because I'm already like going from meeting to meeting to meeting. So it keeps me very distracted.
Yeah, you're a businessman. Let's talk about that. So when you were deciding to develop your brand, what were some things that you wanted to be like the cornerstone of your brand? And were there certain things that you wanted or you couldn't find already and you were like, okay, this is why I want to make this brand?
Yeah, it all began in my father's salon, like every story of mine. But I was looking at the product shelves in his salon and he had hundreds of products by like 7 different brands. And it was a big salon and I would take home the products every day and try them out myself. And I would just be so excited over products. I don't know what it was, but like trying the next shampoo or the next hairspray or whatever it was so cool to me. And I remember looking at the product shelves and thinking that there was nobody who looked anything like me and nobody who embodied anything I wanted to be. And the packaging was all pretty much the same. Especially at that time when I was younger. And I brought a product into my dad's office and I said, "Dad, I know what I want to do. I want to own a product company." And I don't know where that came from. Well, I guess it came from that, what I just explained. But he said, "Are you sure?" He was like, "It's very hard. It's very, very difficult." And I was like, "No, I'm sure. This is it." And so ever since then, that was my dream or one of my dreams. And so I finally was able to do that with my following and the money I made from doing social media. And so when I was creating the brand, I wanted to create something that was really cool, really was inclusive and represented so many different types of people, especially, you know, men and straight people, gay people, trans, like everything in between. And that's what I did. And I just wanted the brand to be totally me and embody everything I ever liked and enjoyed in hair care, but also create products that have never been seen before. The coolest part is that I get to watch videos of people reviewing products and on YouTube and TikTok, even my own products and create things that are better than what I see out there. And I can just do that. Like that's just nuts that I can just say, "Oh, let's create this hairspray that does this and this and this." And we just go into production the following week. I just want to create a product line that has incredible products, an incredible mission statement, and an incredible representation behind it.
And it's called Xmondo, right?
Yes.
Right now, can you give our listeners a rundown of what you have to offer?
Yeah. So we have 2 brands under Xmondo, which is Xmondo Hair and Xmondo Color. Xmondo Color right now has 3 colors that we just launched, blue, purple, and pink. And they are our super colors. So they're super, super vibrant and bright. And we are going to expand that line a ton this year. Then on the hair side, we have everything from hair masks, shampoos, dry shampoos, moisture creams, oils, everything styling wise we have, and we are continuing to expand further and further. And then we have our number one product, which is Wave Tech, our Wave Foam, that everybody is like obsessed with. It'll give you incredible waves with no crunch, even if your hair is nearly pinned straight. And if you let it air dry with this product, it's just like incredible. Oh, I'm obsessed with my own product, honestly. I'm like, who created that? Who did that?
All right, let's talk about some trends, okay? It's 2021. What do you think is going to be the big hair trend this year? It could be color, it could be style, really anything.
Color blocking has become popular, which is when people will do like those front strands or the underneath, a different color than the rest of their hair. I think that's going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And people are just really experimenting more in general with fashion tones, with things like blue, purples, pinks, greens, everything like that. And people are taking a lot more risks with their color in general. But I mean, besides that, things like shags and mullets are gonna continue to be such a popular thing. Actually, 2020 Google most popular trends this year, one of them was a mullet, mullets. And I was like, that is so crazy. I have my mullet going on. So
you have a fashion mullet going on, okay?
It's like a mullet mohawk.
Yes. Yeah. You can't even combine the mohawk. It's funny how I feel like the shag and the mullet come around every couple of years. 2013, the swingy shag was really popular. And then it was like bob, and then like the shag came back, and already end of year, I've seen so many amazing people, especially within the beauty industry, getting shags again. So if you're really looking to up your 70s game, just go ahead and get the shag.
Yeah. Oh my God, the 70s are full on back.
Right?
It's amazing. I love 70s hair. I see girls on TikTok doing those like roller sets too. And I'm like, you look so good.
I am so obsessed with 70s TikTok. They have inspired me on a whole other level. Getting those rollers in, doing the blue eyeshadow, and hitting the streets on a skateboard, singing Olivia Newton-John. Absolutely die for those videos. They're my fave.
It's such a vibe. I love it.
What does beauty mean to you?
Oh, it's a loaded question. Beauty means to me, the older I get, the more important it is for myself to stay true to who I am through my representation of beauty, wear whatever I want and not care if people think it's tacky or ugly, and just being confident in myself. I think that's beautiful. I think it's beautiful when you can color your hair whatever color you want and not care if you're getting judged for it, or wear whatever makeup you think is cool, even if it might not be in trend or in style, and being confident. I think that is so extremely beautiful and empowering. And I think that's what it is to me. Just confidence is beautiful. I guess that's how you would sum it up.
I agree. When I see somebody living their true, authentic life and unapologetically posting, I'm almost jealous that they're so confident in who they are. I'm like, wow, I wish I had a little bit of that. Just package it up.
There's no like type that I have that I think is beautiful. I follow all different kinds of people that are, you know, from our basic Los Angeles girl who's like skinny and cute to like a girl who is, I don't know, what's like the complete opposite of that? Like a very alternative girl with like a mohawk and yellow hair. I think both of them are just so beautiful. So there's no really telling what beauty is besides just being confident in your own skin.
Okay, Brad, we have some rapid fire questions. So what's the best remedy for dry, brittle hair?
A hair mask is the easiest way to fix that. Something with protein and lots of oils, something that's really thick. I think that's the best and easiest way to fix that problem.
How often should you be using a hair mask?
I think once a week.
Do you have any dandruff or itchy scalp recommendations?
Yeah, I just did a whole video about this with Dr. Mike. I don't know if you know him, but we went through all the different naturopathic and store-bought treatments, and aloe vera, that's the one. Aloe vera is a great natural way of helping dry scalp or dandruff. Then there's like tea gel, which you can buy in store. You kind of need to experiment with what's the best for you and your scalp, because everybody is different. And some things work and some things don't. But check out that video if you want to learn more about that.
We'll link the video on our website, y'all, so you can just go and watch the whole thing. What's your favorite shampoo and conditioner?
Well, I do have a hair care brand, so I have to say my
own. I was going to say.
Thanks for the plug. I love Polychrome because I have hair colored hair, and that's our color shampoo and conditioner. And it prolongs the life of your color and keeps looking vibrant. So that's my favorite right now.
What is your underrated hair product that you think people don't use enough of?
Well, actually, this one I just did a review about, and it's this like Kristen S gloss treatment from Target.
Hello, do you die?
Have you used to use you use it?
It's so good. It's so good.
I'm not kidding. Like, my mind was blown, and I'm still thinking about it to today. I can't believe how good this stuff is.
It's wild.
So if you guys want to like gloss your hair at home, go get the Kristen S gloss kits because they're awesome.
I love that. I love that you're like supporting other hairstylists as well.
Always.
What is the biggest mistake people make with their hair?
Often with bleach, like just nobody has any idea what they're doing with that. They just kind of like pick a developer and pick a powder and put it together and put it on their head and don't even like section their hair. And they think it's going to all work out well and it never does. Just knowing the difference between permanent color, semi-permanent color, semi-permanent color is so important. And it's pretty easy. If you just look it up once, you'll remember forever, probably. Just little things like that. And knowing what different developers mean what, 10, 20, 30, 40 volume, and knowing when to use them. I think if you're gonna bleach your hair at home, just know those little details because people often skip over that. And then just like sectioning your hair, just like basic things. Nobody does that.
You know, it's funny. I feel like people have overconfidence about bleaching their hair at home. Like they really think like, oh, my hairstylist and hair colorist does this. No big deal. I'm going to go figure it out. And I'm like, do you understand how long they trained to learn that process?
Always. People think that we just go in the back room, mix up something random and then put it on your head.
What is the most Scorpio thing about you?
Oh God, so many things. I am known to be pretty mysterious and hard to read. I think that is very much me. And I get told that constantly.
That's why you have a good poker face, like I said earlier.
And I think that I agree with that because I can't even read myself sometimes. So
you're 26. You have some time to figure that out, right? Like you're getting there. You're getting there. Okay, Brad, this is the last question. This is just a fun Los Angeles question. You move to LA and you become a big famous actor. Who is your number one co-star?
Oh God, this is, there's so many. I don't know why Jennifer Lawrence keeps coming up in my head.
Brad, that's mine.
No way, really?
Someone asked me if I could ever be in a movie, like who would I want to be best friends with if I like could ever be best friends with a movie star? And I was like, J-Law, duh.
Like, I feel like she'd just be a great time.
She'd be so effing fun. Do you understand the adventures, the stories you would have with her? Like, she would just be a ball. I freaking love it.
Okay, good. I feel confident in that answer now that you confirmed.
I also said if there was a romantic comedy, I would want Chris Evans to be my co-star.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Brad, you're so much fun. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this lovely morning and talking about everything from YouTube to starting your own business. Do you have any final words, any advice that you want to offer someone that maybe wants to start their own business or wants to start their own YouTube channel?
Just work your ass off and never give up. Like, straight up, the biggest thing for me is just you got to keep going. It gets really tough, like really tough. You got to remember how bad you want it though the entire time you're doing it.
Great words. Awesome. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this interview with Brad. Brad, where can everybody find you online?
You can find me at Bradmondo on YouTube and Bradmondo NYC everywhere else. I'm literally everywhere. So
awesome. Everyone, you can find us at Los Angeles Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Join our Facebook group. Just search Los Angeles. Join the group. Answer those few entry questions. And ask all of your beauty questions. Our little community of Glamgelinos are having so much fun in there. As always, you can find us on GlossAngelesPod.com. We'll have Brad's episode there, along with links to relevant videos so you can go binge watch him. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.